to be suspended, they should be must be suspended. Before we continue, Madam Chair, my apologies for an omission. I should have started by apologizing for our chairperson, Ms. Zorba Manasseh, who had a long-standing engagement and couldn't join this delegation.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, and also to our chair on this occasion, Mr. Mabena. I just want to contextualize, if I may, ma'am, the background to what you're going to see. It's a very short presentation. We took the approach, as far as the SAPS presentation is concerned, that we would just give a very brief update on some of the matters that we were asked to report on last November, and then to give a brief introduction into the proposed budget that We have yet to agree with SAPS for this coming year. Now, if I may just take you back very briefly, in November we were asked to provide a report on several things, one of which was the outstanding payment to a service provider called LexisNexis. And in the presentation, that is what I refer to. So these are the three things that I'll focus on that you see in front of you. The first of which, in terms of the report back, is I can say that this matter, although long outstanding, has now been resolved. We have been able to sort out both internal and contractual issues, and we have paid this particular supply. So that was the first thing we were asked to report on last time. Secondly, we were asked to submit a Gartner report in support of some of the pricing issues that were raised. This was submitted, and I can assume that this matter is now closed because we've had no feedback in relation to that report. Thirdly, we talked to you about the rollout of the e-docket system. We talked about progress, we talked about pricing. I thought I would report that in terms of progress, we have had some challenges, which I'm sure will, during the course of the morning, will become apparent. But from a financial point of view, I just provided an update in row three there in terms of additional money that has been spent. And in the next slide, I'm simply indicating that currently these are external contract costs as opposed to CETA costs. We were then asked to provide a briefing on the CETA turnaround strategy, which was done. Aspects of that are provided in the preceding CETA presentation, which I'm sure our CEO will comment on at some point in time. Number six, we were asked to prepare a report on the signing of the SLAs for 2011-12, which at that point had not been signed. And 10-11, I beg your pardon, Chairperson. I can report that these SLAs have been signed. They were signed at the end of January, so very late in the process, and I think some of the issues which left that lateness were discussed at the last time we appeared. I can also report that we have yet to, as with the budget, formally agree with SAPS around the SLAs for 2011-12, but we have committed to ensuring that we certainly will not sign these SLAs as late as we did last year. I think the General will concur with that. And I believe that was it, in terms of the matters that we were asked to report on at the last session. So I thought I would just give a brief update. Now, as far as the components of what will be the SLA for this coming year, we have internally been through a process of putting together some numbers and some ideas. We, between our CEO and the General, we will be arranging a session where we can formally sit and thrash through these issues. But I thought I would give the committee at least some idea of the sorts of areas that we're looking at. So I will shortly show you some numbers, but I thought I would precede that with some of the, what I've called here, cost drivers that go into the numbers that you will see. So it's a fairly long list, which hopefully all the members can see. But essentially we're saying that to get to the numbers that we will get to these are some of the things that we have to consider. So, you know, there will be increases in labour, which we talked about there. Secondly, we talk about the fact that coming into this year, and this concept will appear several times in the next couple of slides, coming into this year, there are costs for resources which should have been in last year's numbers, but for a whole host of reasons, we were not able to bring those resources on board, or at least we only brought them on board for a short time. So those costings will be coming into the current year. We talk also about maintenance costs, and this, amongst other things, is a recurring theme. So when we buy equipment or devices on behalf of SAPS, there's not only the purchase cost of those things, but there is a cost of maintaining those items. So case in point here are some mainframe maintenance costs, and also resources in relation to the mainframe. And on the last slide, we talk about as well the increases in equipment that we have to buy. In this case, it's PABXs or telephone exchanges that have increased in terms of related network costs. So all of this has added to the cost that is coming in. Additionally, we talk about the second slide, an increase in equipment or devices, so things like desktops, things like scanners, faxes, all of that stuff, which SAPS needs to use in their daily business, has increased. So, you know, I think in terms of adverse cost drivers, it's more of the same. Some of the things that the cost drivers that will counterbalance those negatives, not very many, but to some extent reducing the effect of the other cost drivers. I talked there about national treasury rates, that's the statement. We have specific pricing rates for SAPS. And in terms of bureau services, one of the FLA areas, we haven't increased prices for this coming year. We talk about some discounts that we've managed to have from suppliers, 10% in this case. And then some reductions in terms of network services by virtue of cash prepayment. So if we take all of these into account now, and then go to the seven service level agreement areas that we have with SAPS, you'll see six here, but in the first one there is application maintenance and application development consolidated into one. What I've done is to give you a comparison between last year's cost and this year's proposed cost. And again, I must say to you that we haven't agreed these with SAPS yet. We haven't spoken to them about these numbers. So this is just a proposal. What you see between last year and this year is effectively, if you take all those cost drivers into account, about 12% increase in the proposed budget. Now, the rest of the presentation is really just annexures. So each one of the pages of the annexure, and I must apologize for this one, this is the only way we could get it onto one slide, so it's a little squashed up, but each one of these annexures, the number at the bottom in the second column will correspond to one of the FLA areas on the preceding page. So if we can take this one as a case in point, that 228,000 that you will see at the bottom. Million that you'll see at the bottom corresponds to the combination of application maintenance and development costs that you see in this scene slide on the right hand side. So that's really some detail around what you see in the main body of the service level agreement. So it's really short and
to specifics of matters relating to the previous meeting when we appeared on the portfolio committee, and some forward planning in terms of how we see 2011-2012 financial year from the budgeting point of view. Honourable Chair, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very, very much
ever since I can remember, SLAs between SAPS and CETA has been a problem. And the signing of it, I think there were years where it never was signed. Except that agreements weren't signed. I don't blame CETA alone for it. I think it's something that both the department and CETA needs to take responsibility for. I think we cannot have a situation, tolerate a situation, where you sign a service level agreement in January and the financial year ends is in March. I just think that is absolutely ridiculous. Then one can just as well leave the service level agreement and the signing thereof. And what worries me is, for me, it speaks to a lack of joint planning for the year, a lack of joint agreeing beforehand on priority areas, lack of joint evaluation of the need. And I would like, my question is, Chair, what is CETA doing and what is SAPS doing to address this issue? We can't have another year. I mean, I hear what you say, it's not going to be signed again, there's like, but that's no guarantee. We know it's no guarantee. We've been told that in the past as well. And I want to know what we're going to do in future. For me, this is something that should be signed almost before you go into the budget process, so that you know what you're budgeting for. Because what we're doing now is that we budget for an amount, and then only do we decide what the service level agreement for that amount is going to be. So we're spending according to what amount available. It's not as if we are requesting what we need. And there are huge gaps that we are picking up, and I'm a novice in terms of computers and technical work, but the fact that there is no backup system for the criminal records center, I mean, it's been that way for years. And that, again, for me, speaks to the lack of joint planning. And I can't understand how that is possible, and I would like to have some clarity on it. There's a specific question that I want to ask as well, is on slide 49. Do I understand you correctly when you say a 5.7% growth in total equipment baseline from 179,788 to 189,982 units? Looking at that, do I understand you correctly? We're talking here computers, laptops, etc.
Yes, ma'am.
Which means every single police officer should have a computer or a laptop, if you look at those figures. 179,189,000.
Now, let me just clarify. These are commonly known as devices, so it's a whole combination of things.
Some explain to us what they are.
So, desktops, for example, scanners, photographic equipment, all that sort of stuff that needs to be put onto a particular network. So, it's not only laptops.
So I think it would be necessary that we get a breakdown of exactly what these are, because I would really be interested in, because you get to stations where stations tell you our computers don't work. The other question that I have, Chairperson, is in regard to the mainframe. The use of IBM. Is IBM still the best mainframe for the department to use? And at what point in time are we going to have a look at that? For this round, Chairperson, page 51, slide 51. you give us a breakdown of last year's expenditure versus what you see budgeted for this year. But you also said to us that there were a lot of things that were not paid in the previous year. So can we get an actual expenditure for last year and not only the budgeted amount, the actual expenditure, actual payments you see for that year, given the fact that you indicated to us that a lot of things were not paid in the previous financial year. Chairperson, I also missed certain IT things that we've been told about by the police speaking. The whole thing, there's another one that we were told about that I can't remember the center. Where are those? And if they're not with you, then SAPS need to explain to us why they're not with you. And were you involved in the IT needs for Tetra and for PKM? See, I would also be interested in knowing what is the involvement in the planning process and the needs assessment between CETA and SAPS. Because in my mind, the specialists are supposed to be CETA. And the need assessment, CETA should be involved in determining the best possible solution. And it seems to me that's part of the problem, that that's not happening.
Thank you, Chapter 10. Mine is on slide number 48 on the 10 Microsoft. The presenter said something like 2 months of recovering. But I want to know is what happened then to the other months. He mentioned only 2 months. And on slide number 51, you, on the application maintenance, you mentioned another subheading, and you even said you condensed the two. Is there a specific reason for that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. with the right people for it. Because now we're talking about other things, and I'm sitting here worried as to whether really think we are getting ready or not. So let us think of yourself telling us here. During our budget here, indeed it was mentioned, that the city is having several problems with Peter in terms of the provision of service and so on and so forth. So I want to hear from you, where is the problem and what is the plan of department going forward in as far as the use of feet in the provision of IT? Are we seeing a relationship that is taking us to 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or you're considering to cut down the working relationship with feet? What is the issue here? Thank you. We'll take more questions.
Thanks, Chair. Let me apologize for the day, but from the second time, I'm late. CETA is a very, very important institution. The mandate is to improve service delivery, and information systems for departments and public bodies. I just want to check with you. Are you visible to this department? Which department are these? Which public bodies are these you are talking about? When I look, what is your staff complement? Can you really cope with this massive work mandate that you're given? Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chair. We are obviously going to try and respond to all the questions, starting with the question of SLAs and the status as it used to be previously and currently. The problem of the growth increases on stated on slide number 49, the increase of 5.7. On those two, I would request Andy to respond to them. Or perhaps the CEO. CEO.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members and General Chavalala and his dedication. Just a couple of issues that I would like to deal with. Starting firstly with the SLA is not signed and the issue around lack of joint planning and motion, etc. We agree with the observation, number one. This has been a matter of concern since I assumed office in January. We've had interactions with General Chavalala on this state of affairs, and both of us are of the view that it's an undesirable state of affairs. It cannot continue. And we have put plans in place in order to ensure that we normalize, you know, the working relationship between the two parties. And we have agreed that we need to have, at least at the beginning, right at the beginning of the financial year, you know, a joint session, you know, between us so that we can talk about the SLAs for 11-12, the budget, and other general service delivery issues. You know, and just a clear protocol as to how are we going to work, you know, in relation to that, and how are they going to hold CETA, you know, accountable in relation to delivery of that. So that is work in progress, and we do share the sentiment that, look, what is there presently is not workable, and we can't continue, you know, as is. I'm familiar with the view that when we interact, you know, in future, this would be a problem of something of the past. Just in relation to the issue around the visibility.
Can I just come in there, please? I'm coming in there because we've heard just many articles. What is different? How are you going to ensure that that you don't come back here again towards the end of the year and say it's work in progress? What is there? What is concretely there now that is going to make this to happen? We can't understand that you're a service provider, but you do not talk. We've had this said for your own respect. We have had it many a time. Even last year, in December, you're talking about this SLA, it was the same thing that was said to us. Said every time. What is it that is there that will make it possible this time around that we can hold you accountable to it?
If I might add to your question, I mean, it's really been this way for the past 10 years. It's been this way. It's we've been told this over and over again. But I still, with the answer, I still heard you say at the beginning of the financial year. And for me, that's where the problem lies. Because then you come in after the fact. You're not part of the planning around it. And that, for me, raises the whole concern again. Then CETA is put in a difficult position as well, because CETA has now got to provide whether they can or not, and whether it's the best solution or not, because they're confronted with a given, and whether there's budget enough or not. And that for me is a problem. As long as it's at the beginning of the financial year, we're not going to see a change.
Thank you, Chair. I think we would like to expand on this. There certainly is a lot of work that has been done in this direction, and maybe to allow the members to really get into a bit of detail what steps exactly have we taken to rectify. I would allow the CEO to then maybe give us from since he started, but also Mr. Andy La Palma, who directly interacts with us on a regular basis, to also shed light in this
area. As an example, what we've tried to do was to deal with all the tender backlogs, you know, that CETA has had. At least accepts that is one of the most, you know, concrete, you know, interventions that we've tried to embark upon, you know, in relation to this particular matter. The second issue is that we have tried to have our planning sessions, you know, prior to the beginning of the new financial year, but that has actually proven, you know, to be difficult given some of the major activities that we've been involved in, you know, with steps around the upgrading, you know, of the police stations, you know, etc. I think that the reason why I myself as the accounting officer needs to get this right is because it is my hand that is on the blocks. And it is primarily because of that, imperative, you know, that we need to ensure that we get these things right, but also a desire to ensure that we do things right. Because we are of the view that the way things are presently is not acceptable, and we can't continue with it. And we've agreed that, at least myself, as the accounting officer and who's responsible, you know, for the ship, you know, is to ensure that all these difficulties and problems and lack of proper working is actually, you know, addressed.
Okay. Thank you for that. You know, the time around, we're working on time frame. Because we want to be assured that by this time is certain. That is why I think the department might not be happy with us saying this and go and present another performance plan with time frame. Let's call that this second quarter this, third quarter this, last quarter this. When exactly are you supposed to be meeting with SAPS and planning together with SAPS so that we can monitor it? That's what we want to know. Because we have these other challenges now. SAPS is coming with things that we don't even understand. You're repeating, you're tetrasing, and so on and so forth. And somewhere they will indicate to us that things are not that way between themselves and each other. And we want to know exactly as to how you are going to address this problem in terms of a program that is there, that we could hold, that this is what we have pledged to do within this time along and the time around. We will not be accepting, not us accepting anything that is said to be going to happen open-ended. We want to know as to when is what going to happen in order to achieve what at the end of this financial. That is what we want. Because we want to hold you accountable. This is what we are paid for. We want to hold you accountable for what you put in your plan. And that is what we want from you. So we want a plan that tells us that this is what is going to happen at this time, and the objective we need to achieve 1, 2, 3. That is what we need from you. So I'm just saying that today because you might think it's just being we can't go on like we think at any time. And as long as you come and promise us, no, we're not going to take any promise, we're taking things that are concrete now so that we hold you accountable to that. We can actually fool you without calling you here to say according to this you said to us by this time this challenge happens, as it happens. If it doesn't happen, what has happened? So you're not assisting us in your response to our question right now because you're too general, you're too political. This politics to me, I'm a politician, I can do that better. And I hear when somebody who's not supposed to be a politician is beginning to politic. So we want concrete things.
This one is true again, but also explain to us, you said things and backlogs by terms. Explain to us that concept. I don't understand that concept. And be specific what we talk about. If you say in the backlogs. But that's, I think it's important that we understand these issues. You see, our concern is for year after year, millions of rand are ring fenced for the criminal justice rebound. When we ask SAPS that question about are the departments within the criminal justice cluster systems speaking to one another. The answer was no. Now, how much more must we spend before we get to the point where we adhere to the criminal justice rebound? And I'm not saying it's CITA's problem. I think General Sakalala needs to come in as well, because it's also their responsibility to ensure that there are deadlines that they are meeting. The budget process for the next financial year is starting in June, July. Surely there must be planning meetings between CITA and SAPS before that time so that SAPS can go to the budget process for the next financial year with an informed position and not a general 10% increase or 12% increase year on year, because that's what we budget for. We budget for amount but not for projects.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thanks, Honourable Members, for highlighting those areas. I would like to give a very quick response in saying, painting a bit of background in what the new board of CITA did with respect to the relationship between CITA and South African Police Services since we started. In our investigation of the state of paralysis, if you may call it, with respect to client lives and the maintenance of standards of service delivery with respect to the services that CITA gives to our clients, it was of great concern that we had had to, as a board, take measures of almost becoming too involved in day-to-day running of CITA's business. To much to the, you know, to the discomfort of a number of people who are saying this board is beginning to be too
operational. And it was because we needed to really change certain key fundamentals in ensuring that we don't lose the very you know foundation on which over the years some progress have been made in terms of you know CETA playing its role or the role for which it was formed. And clearly these have taken interactions with the offices of General Shabana, and I'm sure I can count the numerous occasions that members of the board have sat down in mapping out these processes and the levels of engagement in understanding the needs and the concerns on the staff side, and us giving responses of what is it that we think we can do as CETA to assist. It went to a point where we then felt it is now time towards the end of 2010 last year to allow the executives to come in and take over the process and begin to implement. And this is the point at which I want to allow Andy to then tell honorable members through the chair what is it exactly that we have done so far.
Jefferson, I think as the honorable member stated, over the years, and been with CETA since 2007. There has been a fairly fractious relationship between ourselves and SAPS. What is different this year, I believe, is the level of engagement at a strategic level between ourselves, which I don't believe has happened before. Secondly, you know, there have been practical changes in personnel, firstly. So as a result of some of the concerns that the General had about people, both in SAPS and CETA, not always doing the right thing, there have been changes within our structure internally. So the fact that I'm sitting here instead of somebody else is one of those changes, and I believe there have been similar changes on the SAP side. So that's the second thing. Thirdly, look, we have not yet sat with SAPs to discuss our strategy going forward. Now, I know that between our principals, that has been a commitment. It's just unfortunate that we have not done so up until now. And a lot of the questions that you pose, those questions would have been answered had we sat together. But that is certainly imminent. So the numbers I present relate to what we need to keep SAPS business going. So that's the basic stuff that we provide to them every year. And I recall in the presentation that, not in the presentation, but certainly we have not incorporated into these numbers some of the priorities that the General has stated that he wants to be included for this year. So he talked about his 10-point plan. But, you know, that needs fleshing. So one of the aspects of his 10-point plan is the amount of broadband or connectivity that he needs in order to support things like police stations from a networking point of view. So, you know, we need to sit and just analyze what that means. Broadband can cover a whole range of things. So as an example, we need to sit and say, right, when you say broadband, what do you mean? Do we have it currently? Can we upgrade the capacity we have, or do we have to look to expand. So, you know, those are three or four of some of the considerations that I think need to be brought to bear from a practical point of view. Thank you.
Do you want to say something about the budget?
Madam Chair, I brought it up to Ben Hooks, Network Hosting and that we spoke about previously. The site has Colonel Bellem is the provincial head, and Brigadier Mabunda is basically the head of the office overall, as you can say, second in charge. We have done a lot of changes in fact. There's progress. We are happy with the progress that we are making as an organization. But you ask a very important question. I don't want to complain today. God willing, I would love to invite members of the portfolio committee when they are in Pretoria to come to Twinpa and interact with members of SAT to make a determination of the level of skills and technical abilities. Capacity is the broadband that was referred to. It was rolled out in the last financial year. We moved from our 64K then. Yeah, between the switching centers and numerous of staying, we are on 20 megabytes, 40 megabytes divided between Telecom and we are moving on our home. Because we are pushing, we are driving it ourselves. There's probably a question that should be asked. SAPS is the first volunteer to acquire services via SIT. And SAPS is very unhappy about the pace. We are. I can't mention SIT in management for. I have to answer all matters. I don't want to complain about it, but management for the decision is that the targets that were given to us by the portfolio committee of from 70%, you remember, and we pushed it up to 90% when we came back. It has to be delivered by technology management. Consultants whose contracts are being dealt with on a month-to-month basis. If you were to pay me on a month-to-month basis, you generate levels of uncertainty. These things are going to be achieved within us. We hope to achieve them in the season. We hope to interact to see the system as you call it. Now there's something else when you talk about the backlog on contracts. And I take exception personally. You wait for somebody to go, to retire. And someone goes and draw contracts that were adjudicated and awarded in 2008. And you bring them to me to sign up. Then I end up with another mission. I said, no. I said, every contract is extended until August. And all those contracts must be revisited, published, awarded before August. And they will be signed off by SAPS. If something could not be signed in a particular financial year, why must we sign 2 years later? And then there's a BC, what you call a recommendations committee. I personally want to see those people that sit in that committee because, for me, they are an impediment to service delivery. You appoint the chairperson from SAPS, they go together with CETA people, they sit down, they look into a particular tender, they finalize it, and they present it to this recommendations committee where SAPS is not represented, and I don't know the problem. But it will sit there for 3 months. And once it's done, it must go to the board and sit an additional period. For as long as those things have not been sorted out, I'm of the opinion that once the tender closes, before the end of the month, 30 days, the tender must be awarded. Because that's our job. It can't take 6 months after the tender has been recommended for it to come back to SAPS for final approval and sign-off. You know, when you talk about e-docket, Madam Chair, there's so much that is involved. If you were to break those things down into individual tenders or contracts or acquisitions, we will speak with the CEO. I can give you a list of licenses, quotations that were given to us by CIT. And SAPS then takes this thing to itself, and we go back to the service provider and we renegotiate. They go from 57 to 45 million dollars. There's a lot that needs to be. Yes, we have not been interacting, we have not been planning, but what SAPS has been doing, we go and take the needs in IS and ICT environment within SAPS, we consolidate them. We look at the priorities, we look at the available budget. Once that is done, and planning is finalized, then we sign these things off. And then we say, these are the items, this is where we are starting, these are the tenders that are existing, these are the tenders that have to be published for us to be able to spend this money within this particular building. And CETA's job is to assist us to execute this task.
I mean, in relation, what is the role of CETA just at that stage when you do that planning, consolidation, and so forth? Where is CETA then? At what stage will CETA come into existence in the whole process? So that the CETA not only comes as a service provider, but a provider that is understanding the environment, the needs and everything, that understands the desperation of the department because it's been there. Or where is CETA featuring in there?
From what I hear from the General Sotomayor, CETA's looked at as a service provider, not as a partner. And that for me is a problem. Because I want to go back to the fact that
South should be doing is core business. If there's expertise, no doubt. We've heard that in the building environment as well, and we saw what happened there.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. Plus, the expertise is there. But yet you don't have a backup system for the criminal records center. Where were the expertise there? Surely that's a basic thing, that you should have a backup system for the criminal records center. So, General Tamala, I hear what you say, but forgive me for being skeptic about what you are saying. The experience up to now has not been a positive one, especially in the IT environment. Things that we might not be talking about now, but that we all know. And I want to know, where was the expertise? Why did the expertise not say we need a backup in the criminal record center? Why is it that when the, which one of it is, I can't remember which one, if they do a backup, one of your systems, if they do a backup, the system is not, the system should stop. You can't access the system while they're doing a backup, which means you lose 1 or 2 days of work. While logic would say to you, let's do a weekend backup and we do it over a weekend. So I'm sorry, but I'm also skeptical about the so-called expertise. And I'm also skeptical to the system about the role defining. Yes, there should be IT expertise in stuff, no doubt about it. But in my mind, those expertise should be focusing on the policing aspect of it. And it seems like we have a complete breakdown in the relationship here. And we can sugarcoat it as much as we want. And I think General Tavarola at least has been honest about the breakdown in the relationship. And we need to determine. And I think at some point these two organizations will have to come back to us and say, okay, we have now agreed, so that we don't have unnecessary expectations either. We have now agreed that CETA will only be a service provider. Or we have now agreed that CETA actually will be a partner as well. So they're neither service provider nor partner at this stage. And I don't know, dear, e-dockets in my mind should have been rolled out a long time ago. If you look at the amount that was dwindling year after year after year in the criminal justice we've done for specific defenses. But we started in 2011 only with the rollout. And I'm not blaming you, General Chavalon. I'm not blaming you. You got there last year. But surely, somewhere along the line, somebody should be driving this process. Where were the expertise then? Either in CETA or in SEPS, to ensure that those rollouts take place.
I'm sure I'll give them then to talk about the switching off and the service.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can get the clarity on which system you're talking about, then, as far as I know, the forensics environment. In terms of the replacement of servers, there is a backup on a daily basis to our disaster recovery site, which is separate from our where our core systems are. So there is a daily backup of systems, except the system that you're referring to. And no systems are stopping for those backups to happen. It is a real-time process that's happening. The system you're referring to, the general will allude to, and we'll talk about that. But for the rest of the backups, the system doesn't have to stop to actually do the backups to the disaster recovery site.
Any number to ACES and this disaster recovery capability. Madam Chair, some time ago I explained how ACES was procured. It was procured by IDC with Treasury recorded on it. For a long time, it was a property of IDC. Only 2009, SAPS put an additional $20 million to help the system with us.
you need to have more searches, plus minus 25,000. That would be a minimum take into consideration to generate that size of 2 million case. Immediately after that, you would also want to have this disaster recovery capability so that before the system is 100%. So we are testing the market. We will roll it out once and for all. It will be there, it will be in place, in the pipeline. It's part of a KPA on our part. This allegation is 8 months into the job. Service provider. Take money from us, buy what we buy. Yes, they are consulting what you call CETA resources on our side. We do task CETA to respond to incidences within the IT environment. Whether their resources report to them, how they report to them. That's why I don't want to go to, because it would sound like one is in this, go to the smallest possible incident. But I'm saying the relationship has been that CETA was established to advise me on technology. I've not experienced it. If CETA was supposed to bring products, I'm trying to be, this is a relationship that we want to re-look into and redefine and probably come back and say, this is what we think. We should also make, determine whether it's still relevant. Because for it to be, it has to be accepted. It has to be understood what it is that they do, except to buy for us. My job is to put 1.3 billion that they require for them to run the services that they ran in the previous financial year, and then identify needs and gaps, give CETA, they go and procure, and then I pay them, they pay the supplier. That's an administration process. I'm being blunt, that's what it is. But I'm sure I forgot your question.
Involvement of CETA in planning, at what stage do we come in when we plan? I think when you are saying it's an administrative relationship,
that's my impression.
Given that, I would like to ask CETA whether they were ever given the opportunity to be more than just an administrative thing. Because I think that's also important. No, I don't want to hear it from CETA. I want to hear it from CETA, whether they were given an opportunity, whether they feel the opportunity was there for them to be more than just a middleman. Because let's be blunt, that's what we've been told. They're a middleman, and they're making a middleman's profit out of it as well. That's what we've been told. Now I'm being really undiplomatic down to the bone. That's what we hear here.
Jefferson, I think I'm looking at our business agreement, which the general referred to, and maybe if I just highlight two clauses from there, it may give some insight into the purpose of the relationship. Part of the business agreement relates to the obligations of CETA. Clause 8.1.1, if you'll indulge me, man, says CETA must provide mandatory and optional system and technology goods to DOCS under regulation so-and-so of the Act. So that's clause 8.1.1. 8.1.2 says CETA may not procure any information system and information technology goods or services on behalf of DOCS unless such goods or services are authorized in an SLA or tasking instrument. So, you know, in terms of the business agreement, the relationship is essentially determined, I guess, by that clause, which says, you know, unless we get a tasking instrument, then do not procure. So maybe in support of the general's summary that it is an administrative relationship currently, that clause may be important, and perhaps the drive to change our relationship by relooking at this business agreement is perhaps a lot of another the issue.
Madam Chair. Since 2004, CITA has been involved in our strategic process. Even after our strategic sessions, CITA came to the table and we informed CITA regarding the way forward, and we also accepted CITA's inputs in that regard. I guess just along the line, the relationship is just been.
Might be a language issue, but I heard now we informed them about our decision. That's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. You see, that's me. You see, my problem is I hear what you say about the service, and I think yes, go and relook everything. But CITA also needs to realise such money away from CITA, and CITA will collapse. The mandate of CITA is to provide a value-added service. If you look at CITA's own presentation, to render an efficient and value-added ICT service to the public sector. Secure a cost-effective and integrated manner. There's no integration. And I'm not sure that it's CITA's fault only. I mean, we know what problems we had in the ICT with insects. We know there were problems. And my concern is, Jefferson, it's to some extent General Sokolala acknowledged those problems. And they acknowledged that there were challenges. But to some extent we refuse to acknowledge that those problems could have been contributing factors in terms of the breakdown of the relationship. And I have a concern about this issue. We're not getting, and I don't care whether it's hit or subs, but in the end, the amount that we are budgeting for in terms of information technology, we're not seeing the difference on the ground. And that for me is a concern. We're not seeing that police stations are better equipped. We don't see detectives with computers. Southern Boss Police Station, we were there, the detectives are using one computer. And that's all of them. One computer. And that's the administrator's computer. So such things are also to blame. I'm sorry. I'm not going to accept the thing that it's CITA only. Especially when we are told the expertise are there. And such are also to blame. There were one computer in that building. Okay. That the detectives had to use, and there are quite a number of detectives. Yes, don't say no. Go look. We were there. January of this year, we were there. One computer. Not even on the floor where most of the detectives are, but on a different floor in an office about this week. So, Ted, that for me is the bottom line of this thing. And I don't know how we're going to, whether we're going to resolve this issue. Because no, there's half admittance to the problem on both sides, but there's no clear strategy on how we are going to rectify the situation, or, in my mind, there isn't even an interest to rectify the situation. Listening to what has been said, it's almost like SAPS has already decided we don't want CITA. And CITA is not adding any value. General Shavalala went as far as to say you can't mention CITA in management meetings. And CITA themselves are not aggressively playing their role either. And I don't know whether we've been forced to be into micromanage. We've got to tell these two to go and sit down and come back to the committee with a coordinated agreement and plan. It's not our job to do that.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. There's a need, I think, for us to flesh back onto some fundamentals. And clearly, this is what I'm hearing from the deliberations at the moment. But to the extent that, you know, I'm sure we'd all agree if a child has in his upbringing that when they now begin to change, it would take a lot of convincing for the neighborhood to realize. And clearly, we have a child in CETA that has had so much difficulty, an organization in distress amongst, you know, its clients in the marketplace, that one of the major challenges that the board now has is to try and fast-track and really put top priority of all of its programs, you know, the service delivery and the customer service element of this transformation, of this turnaround strategy that we may all be aware of. And clearly, being that organization that is now geared up in changing, we cannot change alone. CETA has got to change with its people, with its client, with the market. This process has been consultative. To the extent that there have been engagements in us sensitizing some of our key clients, including subs, DOD and others, in terms of what is it that we are doing. It may also be that there isn't properly a tight enough deadlines and turnaround time frames that may, you know, be an agreeable area with our clients and the people that we are servicing, and hence maybe we're not changing fast enough. But there has to be an acknowledgement generally that there is a movement towards a transformation of sorts within CETA, significantly aimed at really bettering the relations between ourselves and SAS in particular, in this case. And therefore, in the area of agency work, in the line of how we manage our contracts, the procurement processes and so on. CETA, one of the things we've been criticized for being a circus, because there's been 18 people almost in the entire executive structure. One of those improvements is that now we have a permanent CEO who we're bringing in front of the committee. We now have a new procurement head, executive, supply chain management, who, again, we would have brought her here, but because of the volume of work, they are remaining back at the office. We are bringing in an increased pace, permanent position people to try and really rebuild that confidence amongst our clients. This has been the weakness. We have identified it, we are acting on it, but perhaps we need to beg for a little bit more patience amongst our clients. I do know that it is frustrating when that which the turnaround strategy is doing is not meeting with the expectations of our clients. But Honorable Chair, there is a need for us to get closer, much closer together in a much more faster, you know, way, that which can really begin to flesh out those areas of concern, because we are more than ready and willing to listen and to act in changing whatever it is that is wrong in the relationship going forward.
I think on that time maybe the case is that let me probably make you aware of our church as the performance. We have certainly decided to run then another performance plan with target. Not annual target, but we have set quarter. And that puts a lot of pressure on the department. The patience you're asking for, yes, it's understood, but it puts a lot of pressure on the department, because as this institution that is mandated to hold the department accountable, we will be calling the department to come and tell us as to what it has done during the first quarter of this financial year. He's talking, I mean, General Shabalala is talking about 3 billion, 3.6 billion. That's a budget for a department. There are budgets that have 3 billion as a budget for the department. And there is no way we're going to let not this time around. They will be accounting every quarter of the year to the portfolio committee now. So I'm putting you on the picture of how we intend holding the department accountable for the budget that it has, for the 58 billion rand that it has. We become friends or not friends, but we will be demanding the department to come and account to the portfolio committee as to how it is using that money, how it is spending that money. Now, if this side, you are expecting patience that will impact on the three or on the quarterly target of the division, then it's a challenge. Definitely going to create some conflict between the budget and the portfolio committee, which is created by yourself. So I'm just drawing your attention to this fact. We will indeed, we intend holding the department accountable. Every quarter it is going to account to its targets, and that is why we said they must go and rewrite their annual performance plan so that it talks to quarterly targets. And that includes that decision. So I'm just putting you on the picture, on the patient you're asking for, which might impact negatively on the department. And on that one, we not play. So I'm just saying that to you. So that as CETA, good as we are more than prepared to understand that you are trying to restructure yourself. But of course, it is not our mistake that you collapsed. You cannot be held accountable for your collapse at some stage. Because services, they are needed. With you collapsing or not collapsing, but we need services up there, and we cannot be held accountable or be requested on behalf to tolerate collapse of an institution, I mean, at some stage. So I'm just raising that point to you so that you probably understand why there will be some impatience on the side of your department or whatever you call it, your customer. There will be some impatience because you're putting pressure at the portfolio committee. That we are going to do. Without any fear or favor, we're going to do that as the portfolio committee. But then this unit is going to come back to the portfolio committee this year to say, these are our targets for the first quarter and we've achieved them. And if they have not, they will have to explain to the portfolio committee as to why they have not when they have budget. And if it is you that makes them not able to achieve them, then it's a problem. And that is why I'm actually asking a question as to whether, even in yourself, do you think you are equal to the task? And the question that was asked by honorable analysts to say, why is the department might think they have expertise? But as the portfolio committee, we also have we're not sure as to whether the department is correct to say that. That is what they said with the building of politicians. Where are we today? I mean, so I'm just saying this because it is us who's been listening to all these things. So that is the issue I'm just raising, and I'm drawing CETA's attention to these facts. And we're not going to say to General Shabalala when he appears before the portfolio committee that, no, Shabalala, we understand because CETA said it is still restructuring itself. We're not going, we're talking targets. That's what you want. We're talking targets. If Shabalala, in this packet, we have said we should have advertised, contracts, and appointed, or this and that, we want him to come and say, yes, we have done that during the first quarter. And the work is starting during the second quarter, and this is what is going to happen during this time, and this is what we've done. This is what we'll be expecting from the department. Now, as a service provider, you cannot do this. So I'm just drawing your attention to the fact that your problem might be such that they create some impatience on the side of the department. And that is why the patients that you're asking from us, I'm not very sure whether from the portfolio committee I can say without fear or fear or in fear of contradiction that if it is going to impact on the department's targets, then we have a challenge to ask them. We really have a problem. So you better go back and properly do your things, come up with a turnaround strategy that will talk to targets for the department, because we're not going to accept that they've not been able to make the targets because CETA is still trying to find its footing and so on and so on. I just want to say this. But let me allow you to respond to questions the way other questions that were asked. Can you continue to respond to questions?
Thanks, Chair. We would like to continue responding to the other questions which were asked by other members that relates to the area of contract management. I have already responded by saying we have a newly appointed executive, and we should be seeing a lot of changes and improvement in that area. Further on, there was a question that relates to whether we should just probably just be an agency that's used only to procure. And I would say, of course not, because and everybody knows that in the service catalog that CETA has, which is informed really by our founding statement, founding act, as it were, that the tasks goes far beyond just procurement. And yes, there are must and may services that which departments would still have and retain a discretion of what and what is not that which, you know, they can engage CETA in assisting in. However, the service catalog, therefore, has a wide-ranging, and it has been revised now with a new turnaround strategy, and it deals with over and above issues of advisory services and doing and conducting program needs analysis. The management of service level agreements and issues of course, procurement itself and advising on services and systems out there of what is it that is best to procure. And clearly, all of these constitute a much more wider scope beyond procurement. We have come to, you know, to Parliament to explain and to make presentations, and we're happy to do the same to this committee in terms of familiarizing the committee with the service catalog and how we see the re-engineered business model of CETA going forward and how we think that is going to impact in an improving of service delivery to our customers, to the departments, as it were. I will just consult quickly with my colleagues in finding out if they are ready to respond to two of the other questions which relates to the systems, PECAN, and Tetra Andile.
Sure, we don't have any of those projects.
Maybe lastly, there's one or two others that the CEO would want to respond to.
There was a question around the issue about visibility to departments and which bodies and which bodies are this and whether we are coping. As part and parcel of trying to address the shortcomings that we have as an organization, particularly in relation to service delivery and customer interaction, we are embarking on provincial roadshows and having bilateral meetings with the different departments and the director generals. And the primary aim of that is essentially two issues. It's to look at the services that is being delivered and to discuss with them as to how can we improve, you know, on the services that are to be delivered by ourselves, you know, as an organization. That effort is part and parcel of an overall thrust within the organization to ensure that CETA does indeed become a customer-focused, you know, organization, so that all these complaints, you know, and criticisms that we've been getting, you know, should be things that don't accompany us as we move into the future.
The issue of staff complements, one is of staff complements, obviously you have your vacancy.
Just to indicate that we presently have about 3,000. process of addressing that situation of contracts on the books to see as to whether we can make them full time or whether we've got the capacity internally to continue without them.
Furthermore, madam, I would like to probably respond on the two others. I think there was a question also earlier which relates to IBM and the continued use of Maintree. Secondly, it was the work that we are doing on police stations. We would like to start with the police stations, and I will respond to the IBM question. Anyway.
Do you mind if I briefly consult with my principal?
on the basis of that. But when it comes to SAP, it's basically for acceptance. That is why we have been having these differences with people that I found when they say this is a CETA contract. I say, but no, it's our contract. We initiated it, we started it, we developed this thing. We must take full responsibility as much as CETA must take ownership of having signed it off. I just want to say it becomes CETA contract because for it to come back to us to say this thing is fine, it has to be signed off by CETA. Ours is to accept work that we did ourselves. I remember you asked about the signature situation. I forced it. I said it has to be signed by the person concerned. I took it, sent somebody to make sure that it gets signed. Because I didn't say every decision that they take, whether you call it ISM, whether previously, first and foremost, we say this is a SAPS decision because this person acted on behalf of SAPS and then deal with whatever it is that you find in between those things. But I'll just a little bit disturbed by the fact that CETA says they know nothing about it. Yes, on TESRA, they are ignorant.
CETA, what do you know about it? When you involved in the whole project of teaching?
Well, I will chair. We said we're not aware, and let me, apologize to General Shabalala. We need to get feedback from our own procurement division. Because of the changes that our chairperson today has been alluding to, there's obviously a handover currently in process between, let's call it, the new management and the old management. Therefore, we're not here denying that we're involved in that. We're simply indicating that the two of us, with Andy sitting here, we're not yet aware. What we undertake to do is to speak with our procurement colleagues to get feedback, and then we are in a position then to give the feedback.
Chair, I must be honest, I found the answer unacceptable. CETA came here knowing that they're going to talk about police and their relationship with police contracts regarding police. And for them to now, first of all, deny that they know about this contract, secondly, saying that they've got to go back, it's one of the big contracts for this coming year, if not the biggest criminal contract. It's really not acceptable. I mean, there's huge, many questions around this contract, many questions. And I just don't think it's acceptable. It either shows a lack of preparation for the committee meeting, or we've got to start asking whether there are things that are being hidden that they didn't find. Answering questions are there? Okay, because I've got new questions that I would ask as well.
Thank you very much. I think you better continue. Let me just make this our 36 month contract.
Yeah.
36 month contract. And we have still a reservation for this answer. Probably this is pushing us to probably request that an investigation be conducted on this contract. With it not being away?
Thanks, Madam Chair. On the issue of IBM, what I would say in response is that we all know that IBM has been one of the OEMs that have really dominated the space of for the last, I don't know how many decades, but since 1994, as it were.
Sorry. Can we just ask, I'm asking really out of ignorance, and I would ask that from General Chabalala as well, as from CETA, not to use abbreviations. We're not familiar with the abbreviations that you are using. So if you can just say you said, I really don't understand it, I'm sorry.
My apologies, Chair. The term OEMs refers to original equipment manufacturers. My apologies once again. What I was trying to say is that
improve, and we are amenable to then buying, you know, all kinds of software licenses from them that seeks to improve the very system perpetually. But what we have since started doing, in our revision of our entire operating model, one of the things that we have engaged our technical division in within CETA is requesting an architecture model that begins to talk to how do we migrate from the old systems to the new systems. Because as you would know, that one of the limitations of such systems as the mainframe, which is by and large, you know, owned by the likes of IBM, is lack of scalability. And therefore, in a CETA that seeks to, you know, to rid itself of the stagnation and to prepare for the future growth, to prepare for taking on board from its hosting services a number of departments in the three tiers of government as it were, at national and provincial and local, we cannot have this as a sustainable model. Case in point is that our IFMS, which again, to explain that, the integrated financial, the new integrated financial management system, which CETA has played a significant role in being a prime systems integrator, a PSI, prime systems integrator, in that project. It's a project that in itself, for it to be able to replace effectively the PESEL system, it has to have systems that will enable it to do so. And in this case, ideally, IBM mainframe systems are not the idea. The team came into CETA and requested that we seriously look into that type of environment, and the recommendations are underway as we speak right now as to what new other models and systems will be innovated upon so that we can begin to migrate from the old to the new. So I wanted to just comment on that because it happens to be one of the concerns and the program that we're working on very seriously. And very soon, within the second quarter of this year, we will be making some important announcements in that space. Sorry, Madam Chair, I just find out from my colleagues, is there any other thing?
I want to ask CETA about the consultants that they've got, specialized consulting services that they've got here on slide 53. Just tell us a bit more about these consulting services, the period of contract, etc. And then also whether CETA in its consulting, in procuring consultants, whether you take the in consideration. Because looking at these four consultants, it's very obvious that it's not. So can you just elaborate a bit on what these services are, especially the three that is all for planning, what these consulting services are, and also the time frame for these consultants, etc.
Thank you for the question. I'll respond to the first part and then I'll let my colleagues, you know, respond on the other part. These, in essence, are contractors. And I think earlier on we referred to, in terms of our workforce, we have a proportion of those being contractors. Some of them come from labor brokers, and some of them are directly contracted to CETA. And their specialties vary from, you know, from business analysts, network architects, etc. So that in essence, they complement the skills that CETA internally, in terms of permanent workforce, do not have. In addition to that, some of those consultants, you know, perform, you know, various other functions. We typically give them to steps, and then they, you know, they perform a variety of so-called project management, etc. The term of contract, if I could you know, comment on that, what we have been, you know, and as Andrew indicated earlier on, in terms of feedback given, flowing from last year's meeting, we are in the process of trying to convert the contractor to permanent staff. There are a couple of challenges with that, and not the least of which is currently we are in a process of restructuring, which is mandated by turnaround plan. And one of the issues with restructuring, and it tends to affect the jobs and job profiles. Therefore, for us now to finalize the conversion of, let's say, contractors to permanent staff is unfortunate, because we need to finish the restructuring first, because otherwise we cannot be adding to permanent workforce while it's in the middle of the restructuring. So it's a timing issue, which we're trying to manage as best as we can. And more specifically, some of those contractors, their terms have expired, and we are in the process of renewing some of them. Yes, we understand that month on month is really not ideal. We don't want to be doing that because it creates uncertainty. But given the restructuring process we're in, it's difficult for us to extend those contractors, let's say, to 2 years or 3 years, in other words, to longer term, because, you know, we'll be then preempting whatever the restructuring is going to tell us. So the proposal that we have is to extend some of those contracts by 12 months. 12 months, which then, you know, begin, let's say, you know, beginning in April. That then allows them to get some kind of comfort in terms of their tenure of employment, and at the same time allows CETA to finalize the structuring and make certain decisions.
So, Chairperson, just to give some detail to what my colleague has just said, I can say to you that in terms of that strategy, to date there have been 367 conversions from job contract to fixed term, and there are outstanding another 45 conversions to fixed term that we will need to make. From a SAPS purely point of view, excuse me, this is from a CETA-wide point of view. From a SAPS, purely from a SAPS point of view, we have converted three contractors to fixed term. There are extensions that CETA referred to, so in total we have made 112 extensions to fixed term contracts, and we are proposing, in terms of a submission to the board, an additional 150 fixed term extensions. Terminations and replacement, I'm not so sure that is currently relevant at the moment, but if we take all of the efforts in terms of contractors into account, there are a total of 711 contractors that we need to, at some stage, convert firstly to fixed term and relevant then on to permanent contracts.
Chair, with due respect, my question wasn't answered, and I'm now going to put it simple. I mean, maybe it's because CETA don't deal with this committee often enough that they don't understand. I've asked, there are 4 years. In a spirituous current with a vessel from ECAP, four contractors specifically, consulting services. Gave you the slide as well, I think slide 53. I asked for each of them, what is their term, how long have they been doing this, and what is the current term for them, to put it simple. So for Tinus Petrudis, how long have you been on contract, and how long, what is the contract for, and how long is it going to still run? Second part, the BEE part wasn't even touched upon. So I'm asking, and then I'm now, again because of the answer that I've been given, I want to know whether any of your contractors that are working on SAPS contracts have been previously in the employment of SAPS.
Thanks, Chakasang. Mine is on the implementation of the
when we visit politicians, we see and hear of the slow pace that it's being implemented. It's very worrying. And what I want to know is, where is the hiccup? Thank you.
Very interesting question. Page 3. Page 53.
Honorable Chair, shall I answer the e-docket and see the honorable member there? We didn't get the question on, we have clarified the nature of the first earlier question before we answer the e-docket question. Is the question, what are we doing about the EE?
I think let them answer the e-docket and then I'll put the question again. I'll try and put it even simpler.
I think you go to page 53. Go to page 53 of your document. Slide 53. That will be in annex. Specialized consulting services. The border control gender criteria. How long has he been a consultant? And what exactly is he doing? What services is he providing? CEAF planning search border. CEAF planning vessel funding cut. CEAF planning fixture.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think the members of CITA need to listen when you speak, because otherwise they're again going to say they don't understand the question. Consult after the question was put.
What services are these providing? For how long have they been providing those services? Has any one of them or these consultants been employees of SAP? If yes, yes or no? The issue of DEE, looking into these consultants, is it taken into account? Those are the questions.
Honorable Chair, could we consult and we'll consult our own records? We're not ready to answer that question at this time right now. We can then come back with feedback. Could I then comment on the and try and answer the e-docket question? We acknowledge and we have written now to SEPS that project is behind schedule. Now, SCTA, we take responsibility for that. The reason why it's behind schedule talks to our transitioning from the contracting model that has created so many challenges for us. So in specific terms, the reason why we're not on time there is we haven't had sufficient or adequate resources to progress, the project. SEPS has given us the tasking, and because we've been trying to balance the efficiencies of CETA and look very carefully before we engage any additional resources, especially contractors. And that is why we're not on time with that. However, the issue now is that our board, CETA has approved the appointment of additional resources to progress the e-docket project. We are racing against time, but we are working on catching up. In other words, by the time we approved hiring those resources, then we have to advertise and interview and so forth. And because of the skills competition that we find in the market, sometimes it takes us longer to engage certain specialists in our resources. So the simple answer there really is, yes, it's behind schedule. We have acknowledged that to SEP, and we are working on a catch-up plan, i.e. to get the necessary skilled resources so that we can catch up on the project.
Can the presenter maybe give us some indication of to how many police stations to intend rolling out to add to what you're saying? Thank you.
The general referred to this 100 million that's being spent on the National Cup Parade. There were a total of 341 sites that we were targeting to have completed both cabling and let's call it wide area network activities. To date, in terms of those sites, we have completed 98% in terms of the cabling. As far as the wide area networking is concerned, we are behind at this point with that particular project, and I am awaiting a latest update in terms of the finalization of both the figures on the cabling as well as the wide area network. So that's as far as I can update the committee at the moment. I do commit that we will have the attendance figures to the chairperson as soon as we have them available.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to answer the question on the four consultants, no, they have not been SAPS employees before. They're on site and we know them, but they haven't been working for the SAPS. In terms of the e-docket, the rollout of e-docket, eventually it needs to be at every police station.
Are you responding to another question?
I'm just making the remark, Madam Chair, that the four resources that was referred to by the Honourable Member was not on SAPS employees. In terms of the services, they've been rendering the services quite a few years. Yeah, the general is also confirming close to 10 years. The reality is there needs to be replacement management being put in place. And I'm saying maybe just to touch on that. That does not necessarily mean that's the salary. And that is opening up another subject of discussion to say, this is what the person is earning, and this is what goes to what goes to CICA. That is a whole discussion separately. In terms of the e-docket, just responding the sites that has been done now, there's a commitment from General Shabalala that by August there will be 100 stations countrywide where crime. it will be focusing on crime as well as in terms of the integrated justice system where the courts are also identified. So the stations linking to those courts will be addressed, and that will be in August.
I want to know if you're willing to answer this question because you started answering it. What is it that Tinus Pretorius is providing at border control? What is the service that is provided? What is the service that is provided by the other three for each of them? What is the service provided? You say you know them, they're on site. So what are these services? And is there an end date to these services? And then for CETA, since you haven't been able to answer the question, I presume, Chair, you're going to rule that they do it in writing, I would also like then to ask them, of these amounts given here, what is the cost to CETA for each of these amounts? What is cost to CETA?
Madam Chair, although I know the resources, I don't know the detail of the work they're doing, especially Mr. Tinus Pretorius. I know he's involved with the processes with border control. In terms of the other three resources, they are involved in technology architecture and the governances that must be put down. Those are the...
Can
that
come in there?
Yes, ma'am.
That would be
a
call
it
for me to see. But not for the management. And if you're not able to do that, better leave the question so that you will respond to it as an administrator, as a manager, not as a politician. It's good for me to say we have people who are providing services at the border gates and so on, and nobody's going to ask me as to what that is on a politician. But for a manager, we want to take, and that is exactly what we want from this manager.
Thank you.
can take a moment, we will respond to that.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. We have also noted the PICIN contract details and the status of it to date. We can commit to bring more detail to that regarding the PICIN project.
And I
really
think it's for you because even from just saying PICIN, it's shocking that you have no clue about the PICIN. Is property control and exhibit management solution. And we will definitely expect CETA to give us information on this one.
Okay. That's inviting. Inviting?
Definitely.
Okay.
Just also in terms of slide 53, my question wasn't limited to the four consultants here. In terms of whether there are consultants working on SAPs that have been SAPs members before. That's what I'm asking. And if there are, who are they? I'm not limiting it to these four. And that's why I didn't think it was a good idea for SAPs to try and answer this question. I would like to know whether there are other consultants who are working on SAPs programs who previously have been in the employment of SAPs and who they aren't.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have that information right now. We have to respond to that.
It would seem that there isn't any further questions from our members. Would you want to comment with her and then I'll go to the department and make the comment?
I would just take this opportunity to thank the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Committee members for having given us the opportunity really to come through and highlight some of the areas of concern and give the perspective of what kind of work we're doing with respect to SAPs. And we also want to make a commitment to that for whatever we couldn't perform in terms of furnishing satisfactory responses to the committee that we can promise to make investigations here led by the Chief Executive internal to CETA to bring in all of that adequate information in time to the committee. Thank you once again to your committee, Madam Chair. We will be available at all times when you need us to explain these type of things.
I wanted to ask, do you have a turnaround strategy from the colleagues that we do? Do we have anything like that will talk to the commitments that you have made or that you are continuing to make?
Madam Chair, I have made mention of the fact that we do have a turnaround strategy in my earlier commentary. And I also did say that we can make it available to the extent of maybe presenting it to the committee at a time that's appropriate if there would be an interest on the House that we do so in the near future.
Madam Chair, our annual plan with given targets, and those targets will be achieved. I know Ben overshot himself a little bit in the committee I said during this speech, and then I said I want under. It's work in progress, I'm definite that by the time you come back here in August, you'll definitely see a difference. The entire police management is really focusing on two areas. It's technology management, SSN, and PRC.
working 24 hours. It would be very appreciated if this turnaround strategy that started with the former CEO of CETA, Mr. Maposo, especially those aspects that deal with SAPs, can be shared with us so that we look at it and see whether it is talking to our priorities as an organization. You know very well we have definite objectives up to 2014. We have definite objectives around technologies, implementation, not only rollout implementation, but we want to be able to determine the benefits, not because we say so. For us, the most important people that must say technologies that have been rolled out by the police is effective, it must be the consult with this issue. Our impatience is informed. It must not be Shabarana and Pashani who says that they've rolled out this thing, it works. When you go to a station, police must say that there's a difference. And crime must begin to be impacted upon by technology. That's what technology is. And my appeal to institutions that assist SAPS on technology. SAPS is a security establishment. Technology itself must speak to specific things. SAPS, I'm not saying it's special, but SAPS can be treated like a Department of Education. Because the technology must speak to those complexities. We undertake to interact with CETA. We have not changed our resolve. The decisions are taken. We report back to the National Commissioner. But the position of SAPS, which I want to believe the committee is fully conversant with, still stands. We really want to make a difference, a meaningful difference, not because we say so, but because people are beginning to see that difference. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just before you close, Chair, just in defense of CETA, because I've asked that they concentrate, I asked through you that they concentrate on the SAPS part of it. They did, in their first part of the presentation, have a turnaround strategy, but it doesn't speak to SAPS. It speaks to a general turnaround strategy. And I think what we are interested in is the SAPS part of it, the turnaround strategy pertaining to SAPS. The bigger turnaround strategy, you know, it's neither here nor there, but for us it's about the SAPS part of it. Same goes for the budget allocations that they have there. It's a general turnaround strategy. It's not addressing our concerns.
No, thank you very much. Thank you, Sita. Thank you, General Sharana. When the minister announced crime statistics last year, he indicated that for once we have recorded a murder that is below 17,000 after quite a long time. Is this something that we can sustain? Is it possible that we can reduce murder to below 10,000 in the country? Is it possible that we can go back to 25,000, 30,000? For me, all is possible. It's possible that it can increase. It's possible that it can sustain the 16,000. It's possible that it can decrease murder to 10,000. Or even below 10,000, or even below 5,000. It is a mystery that as the portfolio committee, we will take our experiences so that whoever is given a mandate to ensure that we sustain or reduce what we have achieved so far, does that to the best of his or their ability. This will therefore include. I don't want to believe that it should take the portfolio committee to create an environment that says they can speak to SAP and SAP speak to it. It cannot be correct that CETA, which is a service provider for SAP, will say we have a general strategy, and the head of IT SAP says we want to see that it
internal strategy and send chair in the meeting, because that says before the meeting there was never any communication to call the internal strategy. That should benefit your customer. I think it should be a responsibility of each one of you, CETA and SAP, to ensure that there is a working relationship that enables both of you to perform maximum. Otherwise, the question is, do we need your services? That is SAP benefiting from your service? Because that is a question that should be answered. Is the department benefiting from the services of CETA? But is CETA getting the support that it needs from the department? I mean, really, without us saying it, I want to believe that yourself, you surely must be feeling that the presentation is not for now indicating anything that we want to see happening. Surely it says the breakdown of communication. It says, yes, it is maybe CETA is trying to change things, but probably the collapse that you referred to yourself was such that it created such huge problems for CETA, and that is affecting its clients. I've already mentioned the fact that good as we will want to be patient, unfortunately I can never commit the portfolio committee, and therefore will not want to commit the department. The department will commit itself as to whether it is ready to be patient with it or not, but the portfolio committee unfortunately said that the budget that was debated and which we approved, in fact, was therefore was supported by many of us. And that budget is expected to provide nothing less than the services, and it is expected to meet the targets that the department has set for itself. If CETA is not able to come to the party and ensure that the department is achieving its targets, then it is a big challenge. At the same time, we do expect the budget, the department, not to frustrate CETA so that it fails. We expect the department again also to provide its assistance and cooperation on the matter of CETA. It is worrying when it is said you can't mention the name CETA to management meetings, because that means there's already an attitude and that could be a problem. We will request that let's when possible, let's provide the support. But of course, if CETA is not coming to the party and CETA is not ready, if CETA does not have the capacity to perform, then of course that is something else. CETA, we are expecting, we will give you up to the end of this month of April. We are expecting written responses to a question on the breakdown of 5.7% growth in total equipment baseline from that 179.788 to 189 million. That will be on your page 49. We definitely are expecting you to give us that breakdown in writing. Also, a question on your actual expenditure for 2010-11. Because what is here is your proposed, whatever the budget, but we want your actual expenditure for this year. We really want to know the role of CETA in picking. In this regard, over and above your role, we will be interested to know as to who was part of the evaluation committee. So we want to know members of the evaluation committee. General Shabalala, the evaluation committee, the bid committee, the same thing, or the bid committee? So there's no bid committee here. We want to know the members of the recommendation committee. We want to know exactly as to when this set way and what way the decision is taken. We will be inviting CETA back to ask them to come in and present its general strategy, which is a catch-up plan.
and we're not going to call you today or tomorrow. We are going to give you May. We're going to give you June. And somewhere in July, we're going to invite Pete Peter to come in again before us. This will give you time to communicate with that on that turnaround strategy, but maybe also to even begin to implement your turnaround strategy so that when you appear before the portfolio committee, you'll then be able to say, this is what we've planned, and this is what we've implemented, and this is where we are now. We are not the time around taking or accepting things that talk to who will do this. We speak in terms of targets, objectives, and targets. For once, the National Treasury instructions are assisting us to say, even those targets, even if it is for a day, but we want them broken down into quarterly etapa, so that we can hold you accountable. I heard General Shabalala saying they will come back in August. They might come back before the portfolio committee, before we decide on who comes for what, because we are expecting them to give us targets, and I'm not talking about IT, I'm talking about anything from the department. So this is the information, and I've said by not later than the 31st of the year of April, we must get this response in writing from you. So, as I close, indeed, it is our belief that we are all called upon to play our role effectively and efficiently. As the portfolio committee, I always say I am paid for being a member of parliament. The salary might not be adequate, but it is a gentleman. And for that, I am expected to at least do what I usually call a day's work for a day's pay. And for me, it's to hold yourself, the department, and other entities accountable for me to get this salary. If I don't do that, it means I'm feeling I'm corrupt. And I don't plan to be corrupt. I'm a Christian, at least I still go to God in the evening and then pray, and I don't want to pray for being corrupt or for stealing the salary. So indeed, we are going to do our work. We are going to do it in a manner that sometimes it might be uncomfortable to anybody, but we'll continue to do our work and hold anybody to accountable. Let me say that as we appreciate the fact that you have appeared before the portfolio committee, we are not that happy with the services that you are providing. We think that you might be, in a way, responsible and play a role in the slow pace in which some of these things are unfolding or are being rolled out. And I think as you leave this institution, it should be upon CETA to say we're going to change this. We're not going to be told things over again. It's possible. If it was possible, if it is possible with CETA up to now, I think it will be possible with CETA. But when it doesn't happen, the portfolio committee is definitely going to tell you that it's not happening. We do it. We tell people. And we recommend. For now, we are saying to CETA, go back and sit down and plan a plan for us. And have time frames and targets and work towards achieving them. If you fail to do that, we can continue the way. We owe you nothing. Right? I think the department does not owe you anything. And it cannot be that we will fail to deliver simply because we have to let CETA. We have said this last year. In fact, we said this last year. Can I say that I will not say it again? I don't intend saying this again in future. I think if in future there's nothing happening, we'll have to decide as to whether it is necessary to continue to have CETA as a service provider. And probably allow the department to give us
as to why you should continue to provide services when you are failing to do something. But for now, we take a feeling that there's room for you to improve, to get assist so that we provide services to people out there that are, all of us that are victims of crime. I want to thank you very much for the presentation. I want to thank members for the questions that they asked. Thank all of you, our support staff. Thank you very, very much. And let me wish you a safe and a happy Easter weekend for those who are Christians like myself. And for those who are not, well, I don't know what to wish them. Probably a long weekend, a holiday. We will meet after this. Thank you very much.